Okay. Bart, do you have any information who's on the call? And who are we still missing?
Let me... I don't know whether we had any apologies, but I think... Say, the first question is anybody just on the phone and not in the Adobe room? No, so I think all people, Katrina, you can see all people who have attended and who are in the Adobe room. Who am I missing currently is, I don't see Margarita.
Yeah, and Stephen.
I don't see Stephen. And that's all. When we do have two of our new members, so that's Martin and Christelle, I don't see Martin, Martin Simon yet. But there he is. So Martin is there as well. So the three additional members have joined as well, Katrina.
Okay, that's excellent. So in that case, I'll start by thanking the new members for joining our group. We really, really need your help because, we don't have much time to develop all the documents that we need to develop. Bart, if I may ask you, can you, or Kim, whoever is in charge of sharing documents, can you find the timeline? Remember the one we discussed earlier, the one that ICANN has prepared, the new timeline. Oh, Stephen joined too. That's excellent. So I think we have more or less, not the full set, but very, very many people, all the hands we need to start working on the documents. Bart, do you know which...
I'll find it. Just a minute.
Okay,
There it is.
That's very good. So while the upload is in progress, I'll start with a simple question. Does anyone on the call have the slightest clue of what we need to develop? Okay, David, yes, please.
Thank you, Katrina. I think your wording is very good, slight. I have a slight clue as to what we need to develop for the IANA transition, and I am a participant in the CCWG on accountability. I'm not involved in the CWG for stewardship, but I have a fair appreciation of what they're going through, and I'm reading the draft new bylaws. And last week I sent, as you know, an email sort of describing some of the things that we'll need to come up with based on the first draft of the new bylaws. And then, as you rightly pointed out, it's in pretty thick legalese language. And so just recently, in the last several minutes, I tried to send some clarification to that language. And it's not comprehensive, but it's largely what we're going to need to do, but it's pointing us in the direction of these are the kinds of things that we're going to need to develop for to take into account the transition. And it's bylaws around things like participating in the new empowered community, which is the accountability way in which the community can keep check on the board and on ICANN itself and eventually go to an independent review panel if necessary. Don't think that'll be necessary. But to participate in the empowered community along with other community entities like the GNSO and like the ASO and like the ALAC, we'll need certain procedures to do that. And I mentioned those both in the email I sent last week and in the clarification I just sent. I was away Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and out of touch, or else I would have gotten the clarification out sooner. My apologies for that. But this is pointing us in the right direction. Now, having said that, the accountability group has a two-hour call today on bylaws and another two-hour call tomorrow on bylaws, and there's much in play. So this is very much a draft, and things can change a little bit. But hopefully, at a high level, this is going to show us where we need to go on drawing up things for participating in the empowered community, for participating as a, in the customer standing committee, which is itself will be participating in the post-transition IANA entity as dealing with IANA transactions. And so I think after 2 days from now, I may be better able to explain where we're going, because I think these two calls will help sharpen the focus on the bylaws. The bylaws need to be done in very quick order. I believe that we'll be done with our work on the 13th, Wednesday, and they have to be published for public comment by April the 20th. So we're moving very quickly. Hopefully that's helpful, and hopefully the email I sent just several minutes ago may help simplify things a bit. So thank you, Katrina.
Thank you very much, David. And actually, that's excellent that you are participating in those calls. And it's also great that we have Martin and Martin who joined our group. So I really hope for their guidance. So this the slides that we currently have on the on our screens.
It's scrollable.
Yeah,
scrollable.
But everybody can scroll it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's scroll to the slide 3. Or no, maybe let's go to slide. Yeah, well, slide 3 and slide 4, perhaps. Slide 4 is more important. Because it gives us more details on what's going on and on the timeline. So this is what we have at the moment, and here ICANN has tried to put all the dates on one timeline, and we can see here also ICANN bylaws David just mentioned. So perhaps we just start by working on the documents. And, well, apparently, judging from everything that's going on in our environment, apparently, I think that at some point eventually we will need to change some wording of our documents, but I think we just start working on them, and let's see what happens. But first, the question, can we understand what documents do we need to develop? Well, the guidelines regarding customer standing committee is definitely one of the documents. As you can see, at least for me, I think it's the clearest part. You can see on this in the summary timeline. At some point, that's the idea that at some point ICANN just initiates call for expression of interest, and we start working on our document. And by middle of August, we need to have our customer standing committee approved by our council and by GNSO council. Plus we have probably all the other documents, so I'm not sure we can develop a full list of documents we will need. So as I already mentioned, this CSC document is one of them. What other documents will we need to have in place? Bart, maybe you have clarity.
I don't have real clarity, but what I know is around the CSC, and that's obvious. And if you look at it, there are the CSC, it's the selection and appointment, and probably a little bit more, but that's we'll discuss at a later stage. Another one that needs to be in place, and that's already becoming a bit more blurred, is around what is called the root zone ARZAC thingy. What still needs to be done, and it's mentioned in the CWG stewardship proposal, what still needs to be done is a charter for that group. And based on that charter, the only thing what's in the CWG stewardship regarding that group is it has one member appointed by the CCNSO. And it's a standing committee which will hardly meet, but is probably very relevant when IANA, and especially post-transition IANA, wants to change its way of operation, because that's when they need to be consulted and engaged with the community, etc. But it's clear it needs to be in place before the 18th of August, but there is hardly any language available regarding requirements, etc. The CSC is, I would say, a little bit more developed, both in terms of the CWG proposal and in terms of the draft bylaws. Then all the aspects that need to be in place around the empowered community, I know it needs to happen, but what it really means and what needs to be done by the CCNSO as such is unclear. So, but that's definitely an area that needs attention, and probably by the 18th of August as well, or at least have the internal rules and procedures in place. And then there will be post-transition, there will be additional groups that need to be in place. And once the CSC is created and other groups are created, there needs to be, and I don't know to what level of detail you want to go, but there need to be channels of communication in place. For example, again, the CSC is the most obvious one. There needs to be a channel of communication in place where the CSC can inform three times a year the CCNSO or the CCTLD community on what's happened. That can be done written or at ICANN meetings or whenever, but also mechanisms for escalation around the CSC and the vice versa, where the CCNSO could raise issues or inform the CSC. But that's, I would say, post-transition. So reframe what I just said is there are at least two entities that need to be in place rather sooner than later, including a new kind of mechanism like the joint approval of the full slate of the CSC together with the GNSO. And then post-transition, this group or another group, but I assume at least from the CCNSO, this group will need to do additional work around the IFRT and maybe, and I have less visibility around the CCWG accountability, because they've been focusing very much on the bylaw language. I hope this clarifies it a little bit.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much, Bart. Stephen just asked in chat, who is writing the charter? Zerk.
Stephen, which charter do you mean?
Zerk, whatever, how to pronounce the thing.
The RZAC, but there is, say, if you look at the currently proposed bylaw language, there needs to be a CSC charter in place as well, and I haven't seen that. The RZAC charter is probably, it will be done by ICANN. But that's just a guess. And maybe it's done by the lawyers. I have no clue. And maybe that's something for Martin, you can allude to.
Okay, thanks. Then I propose that we just start with the most clear part that's our guidelines for a customer standing committee. Can I ask you to upload the document we shared? No, Stephen, definitely. I'm not so sure that they will ask us to develop those charters. So here is the document that was sent to the list. This is the first, well, I wouldn't even say it's a draft. It's just an outline document for the guideline, proposed guideline, appointing members and selection of the customer standing committee. The thing is that we clearly, well, we need some demarcation points here. What is the responsibility of the CCNSO and what has to be done together with GNSO? One of the things is that both councils adopt the full customer standing committee. We do not vote per member of the committee. We have to approve the entire customer standing committee. So I hope you had some time to have a look at the structure and everything that we need to do. Or you can scroll a little bit down. One of the things is, I don't even know how to start discussing the thing. So how do we structure the document? So what are the things that we need to put in there? And basically, how are we going to fill it with, how are we going to add meat to the document? Because there are actually basically probably three things. One thing is that how we get this CSC in place for the first time. Then we need some guidelines on how are we going to select, reselect members on this customer standing committee after the current members have served their terms. And third one is that if a member on the customer standing committee does not perform or for some reason needs to be replaced, then we need some replacement procedure in place. So those are three things that are not entirely clear not entirely clear, but these are three things that I see that we need to cover in the guideline. But, of course, there may be other proposals. David, please. David, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. I, again, apologies. I did not review this document because I've been away for the last 3 days and I sort of lost track of things. I was on a personal errand that I just was not online. But in any event, with respect to the CSC and the RZERC, I think that some of the things that we'll need in here, let's take CSC. I think one of the things that we would need is that there is the representative's qualifications. And in the CSC respect, it would have to be, I think, somebody who has some technical and some technical appreciation for what the IANA function is. And with respect to RZERC, I think it would have to be somebody with some technical appreciation for how the root zone, for what the root zone is and how it operates. And so I don't think a participant could be any member of the CCSO. I think there. In other words, hello.
Yes, we can hear you, David. Go ahead.
I think we should consider putting qualifications in there. And then secondly, for both CSC and RZERC participation, I think that we should consider putting in not just non-performance, but also a fairly close reporting back to the CCNSO council function, at least in the first year. These are new and very important things, and I think we need to keep close watch on it during the first year to make sure that the CCNSO is getting the input and impact that it deserves. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, David.
Katrina?
Yes, Bart.
May I respond? As you and I have seen this draft before, so David, we tried to capture this in, say, call for volunteers under term and requirements of CCNSO. But you're absolutely right, say, it's probably something for further discussion by this group and need to circle back to the CWG stewardship proposal and maybe list some of the additional requirements the CCNSO in general will have with respect to potential members of the CSC. Because there is, I'd say, but that's a matter of interpretation, I would say, that the requirements listed for members in the CWG proposal is only a baseline. If the CCNSO wants to add additional requirements, it's free to do so.
Yes, that's true, but in any case, we can add some requirements, I think, only for those members of the CSC that come from that we select.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you
This is a CCNSO and only with respect to the CCNSO-appointed members. That's what I'm saying. So it's just CCNSO, but there is a list in the CWG proposal already, but that is, I would say, the minimum list for the CCNSO to use.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Martin?
Thanks, Katrina. David's already picked up the two main points that I had, and I think these are actually really, really important points, so I'll stress them again. I think we have to remember that the CSC is a very operational organisation. It is our first point of contact with IANA. I think we do need to make that very clear, not only in the guideline, but also in any letter or whatever of appointment of the members, that they have this role of being that first point of operational contact between the CCNSO and the IANA functions operator. And part of that is going to be about communications between those appointed by the CCNSO to be members of the standing committee. It's communications not only of the reports and of any action that's taken between the CSC members and the council, but actually to the wider membership. I think there does need to be very clearly a role for the CSC to be trying to make sure that everybody is aware of what is happening and how it is happening. The sort of summing up where I am and that I think is actually missing in the current document, that might be because it doesn't belong in the current document and we need something else, is that we have a decision-making role of the CCNSO so that if something goes wrong or if there are concerns, the CCNSO will be called on to make a decision. And that decision, the need to make the decision, will be sparked by the CSC members. So we need to have that track in place somewhere. We also need to recognize that when the CSC says it's failing CCNSO, we recommend that you do ABC. This should not come as a surprise to the CCNSO. Then, as I said earlier, there is this communications role, not just to the CCNSO Council, but to CCTLDs wherever. Again, needs to be very, very clearly, if not necessarily in this document, somewhere in the roles and responsibility of CCTLD members of the CSC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. Well, I have a question here then. So you think that the role of CCNSO members on the CSC is to work with the CCTLD community? So, I mean, not with the that's not the role of the CSC as a whole, but the role of members selected by the CCNSO. Do I understand you correctly?
That is an important part of their role. The role of the CSC itself is essentially that of making sure that issues, concerns are being resolved are being resolved by the operator, by, in the first case, PTI. That is you know, obviously something that will come from their own expertise as operational people who understand what is going on, will also require them getting feedback from the wider membership about what the real issues are that people are confronting. So even at that sort of operational end of the CSC, the communications role becomes important. If it then drives into a wall because it's not being solved, we've also got that requirement for the CCNSO to make a decision, which again is something. So it's a matter of making sure they're able to do their job properly, and part of that means that they are informing and being informed. Thanks.
Thank you. No, the reason why I'm asking is that because I'm trying to understand should this communications role be described in the charter of the CSC, or you think it must be described in documents developed by the CCNSO?
I think because the CCNSO is appointing these people, it has a direct relationship with these people. It would seem to me to be, no matter what is said in the CSC charter, it would be useful to have them here. And to some extent, you know, we're looking at their ability, the appointed members meeting those requirements, you know, rather than, you know, sort of saying arbitrarily that we think that they're performing or that they're not performing. You know, here are examples of how they would be performing as servants of the community who are doing the role of essentially policing the contract.
No, I'm just saying it's a bit tricky because, for example, I'm not saying that's the case, I'm just saying it's as an example. If the charter says that you're not allowed to communicate to a particular CCTLD, for example, then I do not think it would be the right thing to say in our documents that they are obliged to communicate to the particular CCTLD. Again, it's just an example. So unless we have the charter, so it's thing a little bit tricky. But, okay, in any case, I think that if we are going to cover this communication part or whatever, the feedback back to the community, I think it must be a separate document. One is where we select or remove CSC member, and another one, document which says some obligations of CCNSO selected members to the Customer Standing Committee. So, I see them as two documents. Any other thoughts? So we just add another document to our list. I think we start with the selection part and then we go and continue with the one regarding whatever they need to, whatever we expect them to do.
Katrina, this is Bart. Just testing what you just said. Do you think that, say, the ability of the CCNSO appointed members on the CSC, or should it be a requirement that they're able and willing to communicate? The procedures and processes how they communicate could be in a separate document or even in the CSC charter, but so as a requirement itself, don't you think it should be part of the requirements?
I think if we have it as a separate document, then part of the requirement is that they follow the whatever documents or whatever requirements.
Yeah, it's within the limits of what they could do, but that at least when they apply, that they commit to inform and communicate. It's what we've done in the past, or what the CCNSO has done in the past with the members of the ICG, members of the CCWG, and members of the CWG as well, that they at least commit to the communication and informing and feeding and providing input to the broader community.
Well, yes, of course. I think we can have it as a requirement, of course. But unless it's clear, we have to clarify what exactly we expect them to communicate back. And my proposal is to have it in another document, but of course we can have it in one.
Maybe a question, Martin and Martin, do you have any idea if and when the CWG will discuss either with or without the lawyers the charter of the CSC and RZAC? Martin?
Yes, thanks, Lars. There is already some discussion about bylaw language, and the bylaw language is going to be fairly, or should be fairly simple. The charter was something that there was quite a lot of discussion about, but I think a general agreement that the charter itself needed to be evolved and developed and therefore wasn't appropriate to have in the bylaws. Now, sorry, excuse me a moment. Sorry about that. I think I'm not clear exactly when and who will sit down and write the initial charter. But again, you know, I would see the charter for the CSC already being fairly well defined in the CWG proposal. So it's got things like the membership, it's got things like the rough outline of what an escalation process would look like. It includes information about who makes the decision for the next step should the CSC not be able to resolve the issues. So that would then come back to the registry stakeholder group and the CCNSO. So exactly how much of that can just be taken, I don't think I'm aware of the legal implications of that as much as perhaps I ought to be to make any judgments on it. But at some stage, the CCNSO will have to adopt the charter against which it is working. But as they, who's actually working on that now, I don't know. And I think we just would need to ask Lisa on that when she's next available. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Okay, I think the only thing it's quite clear that we definitely need to work on the call for volunteers, and I think we can start by defining some additional requirements. So some basic requirements, as has already been said, are in the proposal. So perhaps we can start by adding some meat to it. At least it will be clear what we expect from our members on the CSC. At least that's something we can start working on already. Okay, who volunteers to think about that? Now we're getting to who part. Anyone has a clear vision?
Vision?
Okay, so I see that David volunteered. Martin, Martin, actually, I would like to ask you to work a little bit on this communication part, because apparently you have a clear vision there. Maybe you could have at least some outline for main points that need to be covered.
Katrina?
Yes?
May I make a suggestion?
Sure, absolutely.
So what we could do, as you and I have developed the initial list of this, so based on what's fairly easy at this stage is add stuff from the bylaws as they are currently, or the drafts, and from the CWG. If David and others are willing to, say, list some additional criteria, and as you said to, as you asked Martin to send it to the group as well, so I can do, say, I can take it and consolidate this, these inputs and send it around, say, mid next week, so we have it in time for a further call and add some detail to the to this draft guideline already.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bart. But I this is the next thing on our agenda. It's how are we going to do that? My proposal was to ask Alejandra to set up this, to put this the document as we have it now in Google Docs, and then everybody can work on the live document, because then then it will help us to save some time, and everybody will see what others have already came up with. So I personally think it would be faster and more efficient. What do others think? Any objections? Okay, it's fine with David. Fine with Martin. Eduardo, sorry, no idea what atreve mean. Okay, it's okay with Ben and others. So, okay, Alejandra,
Sorry, I was saying that was okay, but the corrector...
Okay. Okay, thanks, Eduardo, yep. Okay, so let's do it that way then. Alejandra, please well, create the document and send a link to us as soon as possible, and so that everybody can start thinking on the requirements and actually adding them to the document. Yes, David.
Thank you, Katrina. So I just wanted to summarize because I had seen some that Martin and Stephen had volunteered to work with me. But so what will happen now is anybody that's interested will work on the Google Doc, which I think makes sense if I'm correct. And also it would help, I think, if we could talk about a deadline to sort of put our comments in so that we would at least know when we have to have this done by. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. Yes. So first, Alejandra, as soon as possible, so hopefully today, please put the document in that magic thing called Google Docs. Share the link with the group and the tutorial. I think she prepared the tutorial last time when we tried to use Google Docs. And Stephen, it's really not complicated. It's just an ordinary Word or open office Word or whatever we have there. Alejandra will do it today in her time zone today, and it's early morning in her time zone now. Deadline. How long can we have? So first, that's the next proposal was that we have, since we really need to work really intensively, the proposal is to have bi-weekly calls. I know that it will be additional workload, and probably not everybody will be able to make every call, but at least let's try to do that, because otherwise I'm not sure we can deliver on time. Another thing is that things evolve, and probably there will be some changes, some externally brought changes to our work, so bi-weekly calls will have help us to accumulate and accommodate all the changes. So hopefully you will be able to join on a bi-weekly basis. Then, of course, we have a mailing list, and now our new members are also added to the mailing list. And if there are any new developments, we will try to inform you as soon as possible. About the requirements for the call for volunteers, so I'd say it would be good if we could do that by the end of the week. So by the end of the week, please provide your ideas and whenever you have an idea, put it in the Google Doc. And there's a question mark. Can those of us who were not in at the beginning have copies of any existing docs? Any existing docs on what? because we haven't had any talks about this Ayana thing. We worked out. Yeah, please, Martin, go ahead.
Yes, Katrina, you made mention of a document at the beginning of this call. I just hope that the Secretariat could just quickly skim through and see what has currently been circulated to the members list prior to, was it Friday afternoon? And if there anything, if there's anything that is still of relevance, if those of us who joined on Friday could receive a copy, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. No, there have not been documents distributed prior to the Friday's email, because the group we worked on, we reviewed the existing CISNES of the guidelines and charters, and since the old infrastructure, and since we just had also experience on working with the documents, we've been tasked by the council to work on these documents just to save time and not to establish a new group. So all the documents we shared before were about other guidelines, and they were not related to Ayana transition, Ayana stewardship transition thing. So no other documents apart from the one you see now on your screens, and that will be uploaded to the Google Docs. Still, can we, Martin? Can I please ask you to put some main some main points regarding this communication requirements or any other requirements that we should require from our members on the customer standing committee? Could you just start? Just put some ideas you have in a document, and then we will try to make another guideline from that. Okay, thank you very much. So, I don't know if there's anything else we can do. So the plan is that by the end of the week we have some initial requirements, additional requirements for volunteers. And so next week we can start, either we discuss them or we just continue with the next steps. Because, for example, selection of members. So, or maybe that will be too much for a two-week period. So this is a really important thing to choose requirements for volunteers wisely. And one thing that I do not understand, in the proposal they say that do we have any proposed call slots yet? Usually we have this time slot. We have it at 12 UTC. So it's in 2 weeks at 12 UTC. Going back to the CSC, according to the proposal, it says that we have to follow all these diversity things, geographic diversity, skill diversity, and whatever. So, again, I have no idea how we can do that, because clearly we want to have the best people regardless of their geolocation. The entire composition of the CSC must follow these rules. I don't know. I don't know how we can ask, GNS almost probably will have some troubles to choosing people from different. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to ensure any diversity here. Because if we want, especially diversity, skill diversity, or we want them to be skillful, and it's not that one is skillful and one is without any skill, so that we have an average skills on average, so to say. Yes, David says that maybe geodiversity could simply mean one rep cannot replace another from same area, but that's again it's tricky. I don't know. But if, for example, if there ALAC appoints a member from Asia Pacific and we have a member from Asia Pacific, is this a problem? Should we change our rep, or we can ask them to change it? But again, we cannot ask them to change anything. So it's really tricky. It's really tricky, and I have no idea how the councils will be able to solve this. And unless we, at some point, we ask. Okay. No, I don't know. Yes, any comments on that? No comments regarding the next call. So we still have questions about next call. It's in 2 weeks. No, it's on 25th, not on 18th. Biweekly, it's every second week we have a call. Yes, April 25th. Okay, so Martin cannot make it on 25th, which means, Martin, please send to the list whatever you have before Monday 25. Yeah, I know that you can do whatever you want. You're retired now. It must be a really great feeling. Martin, please share. How do you feel?
Absolutely wonderful.
I was sure you'd say that. You know,
but at that particular time, I'll be sitting on a train somewhere across between the Netherlands and Belgium.
Okay, sounds like fun. Okay, so I hope you will have time and energy to work a little bit on these communication or another requirement that we could put in another document. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm at a loss. Yeah, I have no idea what how we're going to finish everything in time. But I hope we will. It's like magic. It works every time.
Katrina, this is Bart.
Yes, Bart, please.
What I'll do is some background information. I'll send this group some links to say one of the real concerns is probably that you have only a limited number of members to appoint. And so we went through, the CCNSO went through the same experience with respect to the ICG, the CWG and the CCWG. And these processes have been documented, including, say, some criteria, probably a way of letter of invitation, etc. So I'll send the links to these documents to the group so you can have a look at your leisure in how it works, because that may provide some guidance on, say, some aspects that we haven't discussed yet.
Okay, thank you. So so we have basically three action points here. So first, no, actually four, yes. First, Alejandra and Google Docs. Second, everybody will try to feed in their views on some requirements for our volunteers. Third, Martin works on some my main points regarding the communication thing, and four, Bart sends some additional links to some additional information. And the second point is a requirement, please, by the end of the week, so end of Sunday. By 17 April, so please feed in your ideas on the requirements. Hope I've summarized all the action points. And we have our next call in 2 weeks. Same time, 12 UTC. I know it's early for Alejandra, but you live in paradise, so we'll just have to live with that. Okay, any other questions, any other business, anything anyone wants to raise? Okay, if not, then... Well, thank you very much for joining the call. As you see, we have a lot of, we have to do a lot of things we have no clue, well, at least not much clue about. I'm sure that we will succeed and we'll deliver the best documents by whenever it's needed. So... with such a wonderful team, it's the only possible outcome to have everything in place on time. So thank you very much for joining the call. And, thank you and see you online and share information with you online and see you on the call or hear you on the call in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Okay, have
Let's
a great
start working on this.
Week.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.